This is Connect on Way FM.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of Connect on Way. I'm your host, Steve Green. And in the studio with us this morning is Dr. Jean Allert. And she is the founder and executive director for the Institute for Shelter Care. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, so glad to be able to talk about such an important topic today. First of all, tell me, what is the Institute for Shelter Care?
The Institute for Shelter Care is a Christian ministry that was born out of being a direct care provider for victims of domestic sex trafficking. And what I mean by that is, back in 2007, when the Lord called me into this space that didn't really exist, we established a residential shelter home for victims of trafficking. We were located in the Baltimore, Washington area. And we did that service for about 12 years and realized that there was a need for entities like ours, ministries like ours across the United States. So we made a pretty significant pivot to become the Institute for Shelter Care, largely to raise up the next generation of workers in the field.
Sure. So why you? How did you get involved in the first place?
You know, you ask yourself that question all the time.
Right.
Really, Lord, what were you thinking? Because like many, I think I was pulled out of a very atypical field. I was a business owner in the Washington, D.C. area.
Wow.
I had a consulting company. I was making more money than necessary and leading a very privileged life. And then the Lord decided it was time for my Damascus Road encounter. And I met a prostituted person on the streets of Baltimore, and she wrecked me. She ripped my heart out, and largely because her story was one of just such an average American girl.
Right.
And I was so dismantled by meeting Heather that it stirred in my spirit and said, you know, you can't leave this alone. I'm one of those people who's mobilized by anger.
Right.
So for the people who have anger as your core love language, know that sometimes God uses that too.
Right. So I want to come back to that, but for just a moment, let's talk about what Services Institute for Shelter Care offers and kind of exactly what you do. Then I want to go back and talk about Heather for a bit.
Sure. So the Institute for Shelter Care is a national organization, and we are focused on, from out of Timothy, basically equipping the saints for the good works of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are endeavoring to do is to raise up more shelters that are Christian in their orientation, and also to equip the existing residential programs that are Christ-centered so that we can position Christ-centered care as the de facto standard of excellence for victims of sexual exploitation.
And there is obviously there's a difference between a Christ-based program and a different type of program. So can you elaborate on that?
Well, it's true. And even in our language today, right, you have phrases like faith-based. And we, some of us who are Christians, think that that naturally is analogous to Christian, and it's not.
Right.
Right? That can mean any religion. It can also mean religion light. It can mean not of putting your convictions forward. And so we like to use the phrase Christ-centered because we want it to be clear who we regard as Lord of Lords, and also to communicate that our program, our staffing, our curriculum, our approach to healing is based on the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So what you do is you equip shelters around the country, give them resources they need to do the work in their local communities.
We do a lot of training to raise up new shelters. So this is not a field that has an academic preparation. You can't go to a university and get a human trafficking direct services degree.
True.
It doesn't yet exist. And so what we're doing is a lot of training of the individuals who often feel called into this work but don't have the preparation. So we leverage practitioners in the field, people like myself who've been doing the work for a long time, who can bring our experiences to bear, much like in Timothy, to raise up that next generation of people who will do the work, but also to raise the standards of care. You know, quite frankly, Steve, this is an area of ministry that is still kind of wild, wild west. People got, you know, they felt the call. to minister, to serve. And they sometimes did things like, well, we opened our home and we brought survivors into our home. And then we realized that was a bad move.
What do we do now?
What do we do now? And so over the 17 years I've been in the field, we have seen people who were committed to getting involved, but needed a pathway of how.
Right.
And we're
right.
trying to build that pathway, not only how, but how to do it well.
Yep. Yep. So let's go back and talk about Heather. You described her as the typical all-American girl, and yet she wound up in this horrible life. Mm-hmm. I think back just personally, before I became more aware, I just always felt like that's something that happens in really bad areas of really big, bad cities. And we don't have to worry about that around here. We're in a great community and all that. And yet it is pervasive all over the country.
Oh, well, wouldn't it be convenient if we could put the blinders on?
Right.
And that's like saying there aren't predators on my kid's phone.
Right.
It's absolutely naive.
Yeah.
But in Heather's situation, and she's happy to let me share, that she came from a single parent household, and she lived in a small town just outside of Baltimore. Hmm. And it was typical in that regard. She's got a mom that's kind of struggling. Mom had a boyfriend. The boyfriend took a lot of interest in this young girl. Hmm. But then when that relationship broke up, he stayed in touch with the daughter. Hmm. And convinced the daughter to run away with him.
Oh,
and
gosh.
That, unfortunately, when there isn't a father in the home, we see that father hole in a girl's heart doesn't go away. And unfortunately, he had ulterior motives. He trafficked her up and down the I-95 corridor.
Goodness.
She got addicted to drugs. And then by the time she was no longer a usable product, he dropped her off on the streets of Baltimore, and then she just blended in with the other prostituted, drug-addicted masses that we often overlook.
Right. Just kind of left behind to fend for herself.
Indeed.
Wow. So, you know, we talked about, before we started this interview, we talked about our kids and just all the things that they are exposed to these days. Talk about some of the things as a parent that's listening that maybe they're thinking, you know, I always just thought this could never possibly happen to my kid, but what if it did? What are the things they should be looking for?
You know, I've had so many amazing experiences with survivors because I just completely immersed and did life with them for 12 years. Hmm. And one of the opportunities that I had was to have a group of women together, very diverse, but all had been trafficked, and said, what were the signs that were missed?
Wow. Yeah.
And what they told me blew me away. There was such harmony around their answer where they said, the most common change in my behavior that nobody caught on was my change in the music I listened to.
Wow.
When I shifted from moving to, and I'm not going to typify any particular type of music, but let's say controversial, edgy, profane, abusive, right? Distancing from something my parents would have approved of. Hmm. That's what they said was the beginning of that slippery slope.
Wow.
Then it became things like gradually isolating and increased deception, not being genuine about where you are, who you're with. And then they said the real change was the change in their circle of friends.
Right.
And, you know, we know this intellectually to be true, but I think as a parent myself, you whitewash it. And you just say, well, this is a phase, this will pass, maybe this, you know, I'm sure she'll stay rooted in what she's been taught within her family. But we're in a different era than my generation. I'm 60 years old.
Right.
And in this generation, the number of people who have influence on your children, it's a cacophony of people online
sure is.
Who have access to your child. Hmm. It's a different economy of influence.
Yes, certainly is. Having a teenager that's just grown and moved out on his own, obviously I've seen a lot of these things you're describing just among him and his friends. And you see the friends change, you see the seclusion, the time on the phone and all that, and you don't know exactly what's going on. And I think about when I was that age, you couldn't get away with a whole lot because you couldn't get that far away. Even on the phone, you know, there was a cord attached to the wall, so you couldn't go too far with your phone conversations. But it is truly shocking how much is out there that kids are being exposed to right now. So again, if I'm a parent listening, what do I do? How do I deal with all this? What are my best steps to protect my child?
Well, your best step, and this is going to sound trite, but it's so genuine, is a real relationship with your child, which means you have to be open to hearing things that you don't want to hear.
Right.
You have to be open to looking at things you don't want to look at. You have to be able to see what's on television and turn to your kid and say, what do you know about that? Is anybody in your school dealing with that? How are you thinking about that? But unfortunately, we very often say, well, I'm not equipped, I'm not knowledgeable, so therefore I'm abdicating that conversation. And just go into it in a clumsy way if that's all you got.
Right.
But we have to be so intentional about being a relational presence with our kids. I think the other thing that has worked against, and I've seen this in innumerable victims of trafficking, is the parent who was their friend was the parent who ended up contributing to their exploitation because they needed you to be a parent, which means not being their friend.
Right.
And so being the cool parent, being the one who looks the other way when the kids are sneaking alcohol or smoking weed or whatever it is.
Right.
I see the other side of that, and I see the girls who now literally hate their mothers because their mothers weren't moms.
Yeah.
They were their fellow party girl. And man, if I could wish anything on those girls. And then I see them gravitate towards me because I take the tough love approach.
Right, right.
And here they are now at 21 saying, why didn't my mom care enough about me to tell me no?
Yeah, yeah. Very true. So for the Institute for Shelter Care, what are the best ways that listeners can get involved in what you're doing and help support this cause?
Well, I'm so happy that you're doing this program because we'd like folks to know that we exist, and what our mission is that we are intent to make Christian care the standard of excellence nationally. What's important, I think, to understand is this is a business that is about 90% human capital. Obviously, finances are needed, and I would encourage the listeners to identify the shelters that are local to your community and give to them first. Much like we say, invest in your local church. I would say the same is true for shelters. I don't want to talk you out of donations to the Institute for Shelter Care. We would greatly appreciate that.
Sure.
But we're here to equip that local shelter to be a service entity, but also volunteering. If you're in a station in life where you can commit steady amount of time, and I want to emphasize that because the average shelter in the United States is relatively low capacity. It's about 9 beds. It's in a typical residential home, but we use a lot of volunteers to do the work.
Right.
And so about 90% of their budgets are humans.
Right.
Because this is a relational ministry.
Sure.
And so we need human beings and we need the financial resources to do the work.
And they can get more information about all this at instituteforsheltercare.org.
We have a map on our website that's all of the open and active shelters in the United States. So if you want to filter out and see who's available in your area, you can go to our website and look that up.
Fantastic. instituteforsheltercare.org. Jean, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Connect on Way FM.